Definitely a spirit of worship in the house this morning. Hearts reaching out to Him. I tell you the thing about hearts reaching out to Him, He always reaches back to those hearts. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 this morning. Amen. Amen. Brother Tim, yeah. Hallelujah. While you got your finger in your Bible there, why don't you stand and shake three or four hands and just tell folks it's good to be in the house of the Lord. On different people, that is. Three or four different. Praise the Lord. That was basically painless and you feel better. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, I want to point out to your attention that a unique thing about the first epistle to the Thessalonians is that each chapter ends with the reference to the coming of the Lord. And we'll be looking at that again today. We'll begin at the last part of the chapter. And keep your Bibles open. We'll be looking at the balance of the chapter during the preaching. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Well, that last verse says a whole lot in one verse. This is a prayer of Paul, and he said, my prayer is that God may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, because Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. How many believes that Jesus is coming again? Hallelujah. Looking at the phrase, hearts unblameable in holiness at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to preach this morning on a heart holy at His coming. A heart holy at His coming. I want my heart to be holy at His coming. Let's say that again. That's the message. I want my heart to be holy at His coming. I have discovered from this chapter, right before we pray, that having a heart holy for His coming is dependent upon my trust and faith in Him. Let me put it this way. A holy heart comes from a healthy faith. A holy heart comes from a healthy faith, trusting in the Lord. Amen. Leaning on His arms. I'm telling you, church, the Lord's in this place. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hearts and hands together and ask the Lord to speak to us through the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, speak to us through the Word. Help us to hear the voice of Your Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may this be a message for the moment, a message of preparation, a message of turning our hearts to You wholly and completely. Lord, anoint me, God, to preach. Shut up my heart to the truth. God, remove every distraction from my thinking. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you can be seated. It's been almost constant fare on the news. It's eclipsed the actual tsunami itself and the food problems and the heat problems, the cold problems and the deaths. And that is the potential of the nuclear meltdown there in Japan because of the failure of the nuclear plants. It's been of great concern throughout the world that the power failures of those Japanese reactors, those nuclear plants, that they're going to overheat. Those rods are going to overheat and produce a steam, and that steam is going to send plumes up into the sky. And the water particles are going to be charged with radioactive material. And then the winds will blow from west to east and blow those clouds of radiation-laden steam, blow those clouds to continental United States. And the United States will suffer a fallout, a nuclear fallout of that radiation that will affect people and contaminate and give cancer and perhaps even kill. That has been the concern. That's the drum that has been beat this week. That's the broadcast by the media of those winds carrying those radioactive charge particles across the Pacific. In fact, we need to keep in mind that the only known antidote to radiation fallout is potassium iodine. And even in the Dayton area, stores that carried that have sold out of the antidote, potassium iodine. People are stirred about the possibility of this radiation contamination. But I believe there are plumes other than that that we are to be more concerned about. I believe there are plumes of this world that have risen from the increasing ungodliness and evil and sin of our society. I believe there are gathering clouds of the impending destruction of God that blocked out all rays of hope. The contamination is widespread. I believe we're in danger of a total meltdown of society and economy and governments of our world. I believe it's imminent that things are on the brink of growing so much worse, and we're so much closer to the coming of the Lord, and the subsequent judgment of God is quick to follow the coming of the Lord. That's the thing I'm concerned about. I told you the antidote to radiation, even the fallout of nuclear radiation, the antidote is potassium iodine. But the antidote to what is coming in this world, the antidote to the world's corruption, the antidote to the unpreparedness for Jesus coming, the antidote is a faith in Jesus that leads to a holy heart. I'm telling you, you can be ready. You can put your trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusting in the Lord, there will be a holiness of heart that will prepare you and I for what is to come. Can you say amen? That's the only antidote. Jesus is coming for those with holy hearts, and holy hearts are a result of believing God. People are so quick to prepare and respond to a perceived and possible catastrophe. Even mention it on the news and they're quick to preparation. Talk about economic hard times and people are stirred. And yet the same folks have little or no concern, and they're certainly not quick to prepare for the certain catastrophe of the coming of Jesus and the judgment to come upon this world. Amen. I told you, if you're suffering the danger of radiation poison, you can take potassium iodine. The way that works is the thyroid gland has empty receptors, and when there is nuclear material in the air, radioactive material in the air, and that's breathed in or absorbed into the body, that radiation immediately goes to these empty receptors of the thyroid gland, and then the thyroid gland pumps that radioactive material through those receptors, pumps it throughout the body, and gives the danger and the potential of cancer. The receptors being empty, they receive the radiation, they receive the poison, they receive the contamination, and it's destructive to the body. I want you to know that's the antidote, iodine, because the iodine fills the empty receptors so the radioactive material can't get in. I said the iodine fills the empty empty receptors of the thyroid gland, so the radioactive material can't get into it. I'm telling you, the antidote to the evil of this world is to have the empty receptors of your heart filled with the righteousness and holiness and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the heart is filled with faith and holiness, the corruption of this world cannot get into your heart. Can you say amen this morning? Those with holy hearts refuse to let the evil of this world settle into their lives. Paul has prayer. He says that when Jesus comes, my prayer is that you Thessalonians will have hearts that have been established in faith to the point that your hearts are unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I see from this? The bar for preparedness of being ready for Jesus coming, the bar is pretty high. If to be ready, our hearts are to be unblameable in holiness before God, that bar is pretty high for being ready for Jesus coming. Everywhere you look, there's some messenger to lower the bar. There's some book, there's some doctrine to lower the bar. But we need to leave it right where Paul said it. And he said, if we're to be prepared for Jesus coming, it's going to be because our hearts are unblameable in holiness before God. That is a high bar. But when I read that and read the context, I discover I reach that unblameable holiness of heart, not through my human effort, not through my self-righteousness, but I obtain that unblameable holiness and heart by believing God, by wholly trusting Him, to giving myself to Him and trusting God to work in my life, trusting God to change what is wrong, trusting God to show me the way, trusting God to cleanse me inside and out. And if I'm trusting God, I'll be unblameable in holiness, not through my effort, but through my surrender and trust and giving myself to Him. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He is coming. That is a settled fact. Amen. It's spoken factually in this verse. At His coming, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is settled. The only thing that is unsettled is, will I be prepared? Hallelujah. Listen, we cannot prepare for every contingency of catastrophe. I mean, it's impossible. We need to be wise. We need to be frugal. We need to practice good common sense. But there is no way to prepare for every contingency of catastrophe. Amen. You can't prepare for every tornado, every hurricane, every tsunami, every nuclear fallout. You cannot. It's impossible to prepare for every possible catastrophe. But I'm telling you, the coming of Jesus is certain, and you can be prepared for that. Hallelujah. I said you can be prepared for His coming. I cannot be prepared for every economic downturn. I cannot be prepared for every terrorist attack. I cannot be prepared for every earthquake. Oh, but I can be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we ought to take prudent measures to prepare for hard years, prudent measures to prepare for the future. But the most important preparation we can make is to have our hearts unblameable and prepared for His coming. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we can be prepared? Amen. We don't need to move to Montana, to a remote county, and get a nuclear fallout igloo and stockpile food and hide out there from the government. Amen. We don't need to do that. Oh, we can be prepared when we say, Lord, by faith I'm trusting You to work in my heart, and I will respond until my heart is unblameable in holiness before Him. Oh, someone say amen. Being ready is not a matter of the head. It's a matter of the heart. Some folks feel like if they just know more about prophecy, they'll be prepared for coming, the coming of Jesus. It's not a matter of the head, Brother Ryan. It's a matter of the heart. Hearts unblameable in holiness. I like to discuss prophecy. I want to know what the Bible has to say about the future. But people that aren't even saved will discuss prophecy with me. I've been there. I've been in groups of backsliders. They could carry on just a wonderful discussion about pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib tribulation. And they knew a lot of Bible prophecy, but they still weren't prepared, because it's a matter of the heart and not the head. Amen. Bro, I'm not knocking knowledge of prophecy, but I'm telling you, basically what we need to know is Jesus is going to come. And when he comes, there's going to be a subsequent judgment. And I want to be prepared. And I can be prepared. Amen. Whether we work out all the nitty-gritty of putting everything on a chart and everything on a linear time graph and get every little detail right in its place, that's not near as important as having a heart that's ready for his coming. Does anyone feel anything this morning about being prepared for the coming of the Lord? In verse 1, Paul says, wherefore we could no longer forbear. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. There it is. It's out your faith. Because of the threat of death, I told you last Sunday, Paul had been ran out of Thessalonica and ran out of Berea. Amen. He'd been ran down to Athens. And there, either because of the threat of death, or because of the work he was trying to do at Athens, or because of personal reasons, perhaps his health, Paul cannot return to Thessalonica to see how his new converts in Christ are doing. And it's killing him. He wants to know how they're doing in their faith. There's no Facebook. He couldn't check his Facebook account. There's no email. There's no telephone. There's not even a telegraph, and it's too far for a smoke signal. Amen. And here he is in Athens. He has no word on how his new converts are doing, Brother Laredo, and it's just stirring Paul up. He's so anxious about his new converts. Finally, he came up with a plan. He said, I can't stand it any longer. Timothy, would you be willing to make the many mile journey back to Thessalonica and see how they're doing in their newfound faith? Would you do it? Timothy said, yes, sir, I'd be willing to do it. And Paul said, Timothy, when you get there, however they're doing, encourage their faith. Encourage their faith. Encourage their trust in the Lord. Why? Because Paul knew it's an encouraged faith. That's a healthy faith. And a healthy faith will lead to a holy heart. Hallelujah. Nobody lives carnally trusting in the Lord. Nobody backslides putting their faith wholly in God. I'm telling you, it is a healthy faith that leads to a holy heart. And Paul told Timothy, encourage their faith. And that's why church is so important. It encourages your faith. It shores up your faith. It stabilizes your faith. I believe if we're going to make it, we're going to make it the same way the Thessalonians. Paul said you need to have your faith encouraged and established. Oh, hallelujah. In times like these, church, let's believe God. When things are looking so dark, let's believe God. Hallelujah. I said, when things are looking so bad, personally and nationally and internationally, let's put our faith in God. And if we're trusting in him, whether we've got a bunch of gold stockpiled or not, whether we got iodine potassium pills, we're ready for the most major thing that's on the agenda. Trusting in the Lord, we'll be ready for his coming. I've taken the time to lay a foundation, and now I'm going to move rapidly. But Paul says, first of all, a healthy faith is a faith that expects and faces the attacking. You don't need to lift your hand, but there's folks in the congregation this morning, you are under attack. Amen. There are families under attack. Some are facing personal attacks of mind and heart and emotion. Paul, first of all, alludes to the attacks from without. Attacks from without, we call them trials. You see, I'm going to read these verses, but I want you to keep in mind as I read them that the Thessalonians were getting it from both sides. They were getting it from their own people, the Gentiles. The Thessalonians had left the idolatry worship. They left the culture of the Thessalonians, Thessalonia. They had left the ways of the world. So the Gentiles were persecuting them because they had forsaken their national cultural gods. The Gentiles were giving them a hard time. But it wasn't just the Gentiles, it was the Jews there in Thessalonica giving these Gentile Christians a hard time and persecuting them for their faith in Christ. And so they're getting it from both sides. They're being attacked. Look in verse 3. He says to them that no man should be moved by these afflictions, these persecutions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Listen, I've told you, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to discourage you. But I'm going to tell you the truth as Paul did. And Paul said, if you are a Christian, it's appointed that you're going to be under attack. There's no way around it. Because there is an enemy. It is an appointment with persecution if you are a believer. Look at verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that you should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. No, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but there are too many of the stars of Christian television and radio that'll tell you if you get the right kind of faith, you'll never have sickness, you'll never have problems, the car engine will never blow up, you'll get ever promotion, you'll upgrade your house every 3 years. They're lying to you. They'll tell you if you have troubles, it's because you don't have enough faith. Amen. Paul said, and he's going to say, you've got faith, but I want you to know you're going to be under attack. You're going to have persecutions. Amen. You should not be caught by surprise by the suffering that's come your way since you have believed. I told you it would come. You know, I begin to think if Paul preached this way, he would allow in a lot of charismatic churches today, because they teach that if one has a lot of faith, he won't have problems. And here Paul's looking him in the eye and he's saying, I told you when I was with you, you're going to be under attack. Not only would they be uncomfortable with Paul preaching, they would be uncomfortable with Jesus preaching. He looked at his disciples and said, remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they have hated me, they will hate you. Jesus told his disciples that. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have tribulation. Now you say, pastors, you're a negative preacher. Listen to what you're saying. Number one, I'm quoting Jesus. Ye shall have tribulation. Number two, I'm not through, because Jesus wasn't through. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Attacks from without. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice, but your weeping shall be turned into joy. There's attacks from without, there's attacks from within. We call those temptations. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, just couldn't put up with any lie, I had to know. I sent to know your faith. I sent Timothy to see how your faith was doing. Lest by any means, the tempter, Satan, having tempted you, and our labor being in vain. There's some folks that preach you can't lose your salvation. Then what was Paul worried about? Why was he so anxious? There is a tempter. There is the stealer of the seed from the ground. And Paul was concerned that the tempter would tempt them. You know, whenever you're going through hard times, it's not just what's hit you from the outside. It's what Satan turns that into on the inside. Discouragement, depression, disillusionment. You lose your job, it's not just an outside thing that you don't have a job and you got the work of finding one. It's what you go through on the inside, the feelings that you struggle with, and self-worth, and the fright of how you're going to provide for your family. And Satan can turn the trial to inward temptation. Paul said, I had to know, were the pressures getting to you? Were you being overwhelmed what's happening in your world by the persecution? Paul said, I sent Timothy to ask you, how is your faith? Would you allow me, church, this morning? That's what Timothy asked the Thessalonians. But could I ask that of the roadies? What about it, roadies? How's your faith? That's what Paul wanted to know. How's your faith? Is it getting to you? I opened up the Drudge this morning, the Drudge Report, that is. And that's not a church gossip newsletter. That's a news agency. And I couldn't even open up the headlines because headline after headline was despairing. War, nuclear fallout, devastation, economic devastation. It could get to us, Sister Christmas. I mean, it hits us every day. But I want you to know, what we need to ask the question isn't just how bad is it getting in the world. We need to hear Paul's question, how's your faith? Because Paul's saying, no matter how bad it gets, your faith can be healthy. Your trust in the Lord can be sure. It isn't, my faith isn't in the condition it needs to be unless my faith is leading me to be prepared for His coming. Amen. Let's look at verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith. Oh, he said it was good news about your faith and your love, your charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always. You're not running us down. You're thankful for us that have taught you and led you into this. You even desire to see us again. And we desire, this is a lot of love going on here. Paul said, no, you really want to see us? We really want to see you too. That's what he said. He was so happy about this report that they hadn't turned back from Christ. They hadn't went back to idols, but their faith was strong in the midst of persecution. Even verse 7, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress. What comforted us was to knowing that you believed. I'm telling you, amen, we can face anything as a church. The leaders can keep on teaching and preaching and singing when they know that people are responding and their faith is growing in the Lord. We can go through anything, church. Things may get really bad, and I hope they personally don't, but they may get really bad. But listen, if from our elders, our board members, every member, every attendee, every mom, every dad, if we'll trust the Lord, we can make it through anything. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How's your faith? The good news was their faith had stood the test. They had faced their tribulations. They had faced their trials and continued to trust and serve Jesus. They had refused to let Satan use their trials as a reason to give up on God and seek out the things of the world as a distraction and diversion. Amen. I want you to know the most disheartening news for any preacher is to get the news that his converts have turned back. I know God saves them. I know they're God's converts. You understand in context. Amen. You've preached the gospel. You've seen someone get saved. And then you get the news. You start getting the news because they quit showing up to church. And then you try to call them, you know. And pretty soon you get the news that they're back in the world. That's the most disheartening thing for someone who cares about souls. Can you say amen? But on the other hand, the best news you can get is that they're still serving God. I mean, their old friends turned against them. Amen. They had economic trouble. They had problems. Satan threw everything he could their way. But in the midst of it all, they said, though Satan slay me, yet will I trust him. I put my trust in the Lord, and I'm not going to take it back. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul is excited. He's joyful. Secondly, not only is a healthy faith a faith that expects and faces the attacking, a healthy faith is a faith that refuses any slacking. Hallelujah. I've often said the thing that concerns me is the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the less concern the church seems to have about it. Have you ever noticed that? flash back to the 70s, 30 years ago. Every song just about was about the coming of the Lord. Message after message, the coming of the Lord. We're 30 years closer, Brother Keith. I believe a healthy faith is a faith that refuses any slacking. Look at verse 8. For now we live, oh, we're excited, if you stand fast in the Lord. I mean, the devil's trying to knock you out, knock you down, knock you back. But stand fast in the Lord. For what thing can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before the God. I mean, these Thessalonians have only been saved weeks. And Paul's so excited because folks are still turning from idols to serve the true and the living God. And they're going on to follow Jesus. I'm telling you, not everybody's going to turn back. Glory to God. Oh, what an exciting thing. Don't slack up. Don't let up. You see, the tendency is most folks have a spectacular experience of a dramatic conversion. I mean, it's something dramatic happens in their life. When they come to Christ, oh, what joy, oh, what glory over the forgiveness of sin. But the tendency is human nature being what it is, and the world that we live in being what it is, the spectacular sensation of getting saved begins to wear off. Life settles down to everyday living. We have the same problems. We pay taxes every year, even though we're a Christian, and even though we have been spectacularly converted. Even that begins to wear off. But Paul said, when it begins to wear off, don't give in, don't give out, don't give up. Just stand fast. Just stand fast. Refuse to give ground. Even I've seen ground given. We'll preach on church membership tonight. But one of the first places you see it is in church attendance. You let somebody saved and they're calling the pastor. Are there any extra services tonight? Because I don't want to miss a one. I mean, they'll be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday morning prayer meeting, Wednesday night, youth rally Friday night, prayer meeting on Saturday night. Oh, but that's a new Christian, and somebody has the audacity to say after you serve God a while, you'll get over it. Amen. You won't be so excited to attend church. It's just human nature as it is, and the world as it is, the new wears off, and there's a tendency to begin to slack up on church attendance, slack up on personal time with the Lord, slack up on Bible reading. I'm telling you, it's not a time to slack up. It's a time to stand fast. I'm not giving ground. I'm not moving back. I'm not turning anything over to Satan. I'm going to go on to serve the Lord. I'm going to stand fast. Continue in the things which thou hast heard, knowing of whom thou hast heard them. Continue in the faith. Hold fast. Hallelujah. Don't put your hand to the plow and look back. Go forward. Wednesday night, I was noticing one of our families that got saved about 2 years ago. And oh, what a change in their lives. And I was just thinking of that Wednesday night, getting all excited about it. Their lives, their children. Oh, what a joy it is. Right now, it's a family that is under pressure. But they're not giving an inch to Satan. They're standing up. I've started out. And I'm going to finish. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's not a time to slack up. I've told it many times. I didn't intend to tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Over in Africa, when those Africans began to get saved, they got so excited, every one of them would leave their hut and made a path out into the rainforest and prayed every day. But things grow fast in a rainforest. And if a guy began to skip his daily time, his path would begin to grow over. Instead of coming up saying, hey, brother, are you backsliding? Those Africans had a way of asking or telling. They'd say, brother, the grass is growing on your trail. Oh, slacking up. I don't think it's a time to let the grass grow on your trail. I think it's a time, amen, to push forward. Be more passionate. Hallelujah. Last of all, a healthy faith is a faith that recognizes and desires, amen, to obtain what is lacking. I mean, a healthy face is attacking. A healthy faith does not do any slacking. And last of all, a healthy faith is a faith that desires to obtain what is lacking. What is lacking? Oh, it's a Christian in bad shape when they think they have arrived and got it all and need nothing more. Rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's not a church that's prepared. That's not a person. A person in the church that's prepared, a healthy face says, amen, if I'm lacking anything, I want it. I want it. I want what's lacking. Hallelujah. Verse 10, 9 day, Paul said, I've been praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. They're converts. But the truth of the matter is, however long you serve the Lord, there's room for growth. There's greater depths and higher heights. There's a higher plateau. There's something else I need from God. There is help. There's strengthening of my faith. There's a cleansing of my heart. Amen. And so he says that I want to come to you again to perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way into you. May God lead us back to you. And the Lord, that he would increase and abound in love, that you would increase and abound in love toward another and toward all men. Amen. Paul said, I want to get back to you because I feel like even though you're doing well, there's something else God wants to do in your life. There's something else that God wants to give you. I've not yet been on a trip that I haven't asked myself, do I have everything that I need? I've got my bags packed. I'm ready to walk out the door, but do I have everything I'm going to need? I'm telling you, yes. Even we're saved, we feel like our bags are packed, but I still believe the question of a healthy faith, is there anything I lack? Amen. What has God said to me? How can I grow in Christ? If you're at a place this morning, you feel like you've arrived, you've made it, you don't need anything else, I think your faith has grown weak and you're ill prepared. Oh, but give me folks, their faith in God, sure, they have assurance in their heart, but they're still saying, teach me, Holy Spirit, show the things of Christ to me, help me to grow in this thing, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my soul. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. I don't want to be lacking anything. Interesting thing is, the thing that Paul indicates that they were lacking was a need for more love among themselves for the unsaved and for their brothers and sisters. I know holiness involves a whole lot, and Paul will get to that. And sanctification involves a whole lot. But many times when we talk about being holy at his coming, folks begin to think about worldly things as far as, you know, entertainment and immodesty and all of that. And I know there's a place for that in God's word. But notice what Paul says when he's talking about holiness. He's talking about whether or not the Thessalonians have the love that they need to have for the world around them and for their brothers and sisters. And when he's praying about they have holy hearts, Brother Brock, his prayer was, I pray that your love would increase one for another and for the world around you. I'm telling you, I believe this morning that a preparedness for his coming involves having a faith that says, oh God, increase my love for a dying world and increase my love for my brothers and sisters. Amen. I want to be clear this morning. If you're here and you're struggling with love, love for the unsaved, even someone's done you wrong, a brother or sister said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, and you're struggling with loving them, even that's a heart ill prepared for his coming. Even get along with God and say, I want what Paul wanted. I want my love to increase. Oh, hallelujah. I've told you many times about the time as a pastor I was praying at a meeting, especially I was praying, oh God, help me to love people more. Help me love the lost more. Help me to love the people of the church more. Oh God, just help me to love them more. And I heard the voice of God speak in my heart and said, focus on loving me more and you won't have to worry about loving people more. How many believes that this morning? Hallelujah. By the way, Jesus said, the thing that should frighten us isn't earthquakes and wars as much as because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. See, I'm talking about holiness. Holiness is having true love for brother and sister and the world around us. Hallelujah. Oh, I want a heart that's unblameable. That is coming, don't you? Lord, increase my love. Amen. Increase my love. We're about done. Verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. I will remind us in closing one more time. It's about our hearts. It's about our hearts. Notice what it says here. Not a matter of our heads, our hearts. Our hearts unblameable in holiness. Amen. We see the unusual happening in our world. And it causes us to get out the Bible to interpret what was going on. We look to Bible prophecies to try to understand what is happening in these end times. But as we turn to Bible prophecy to try to figure it all out, we must remember that's not a matter of getting it figured out with our heads. It's a matter of our hearts being prepared for His coming. And then I want you to notice it's the condition of our hearts, not before men, but before God. Amen. Notice what it says here. May establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Amen. If you think I'm knocking some group or some person, you're missing my point. But I'm afraid in so many, amen, as long as they don't have anything to fear from the group or fear from a certain person or a certain preacher, they feel like they're okay. Well, my heart's holy before God. It's not your holiness before me that matter. It's your holiness before God that matters. I mean, I can form, I can go down the list, I can meet the code of the fellowship meeting, and my heart still be far from God and distant from God, harboring things in soul and in mind. Even I ought not to harbor. Even I'm telling you, I don't want my heart just holy in the appearance of men, and men look at me and say, well, there's a holiness person. That's not what I want first and foremost. I want God to be able to look at me and say, there is a holy heart. It's before Him. Oh, how all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's why the preaching of the Word is so important, because the Word of God is thick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Search me, O Lord. I want a holy heart. When you look at me, I want my heart unblameable before you. It'll cause you to pause before you sign the end tax return form. Hallelujah. Because God is the one I'm concerned about. He's coming. I want to notice one more incidental note, but it's so important. It said, at His coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. He's come for us, but there are already saints with Him. Old Testament people of faith, those in Christ who have died, the saints of all ages, Brother Norvell, are coming with Him for us. A lot of things can be said about that. Only thing I want to say is they made it. They had hearts unblameable. And they're saying to us, you can make it too. You can be ready. Amen. Saints died 1,000 years ago are coming back with Him when He comes. They're saying, we've made it, and you too. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily beset, and run with patience the race that is set before. But that crowd of witnesses are the saints that's coming back with Jesus, and they're cheering us on. However hard the persecution, however strong the temptation, there are the saints in heaven that's saying, come on, you can make it. Oh, come on. I know it's bad right now, but you can, come on, you can make it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Just let your faith be increased. Amen. Just believe God. Amen. This book ends with the verse, faithful is He that called you, who will also do it. Put your trust in Him. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. What about it, church? In these momentous times, in these times of great difficulty, and I'm afraid I'd be a calamity hour, but I'm going to tell you anyway, things are going to get a whole lot worse before they get any better. Things are heating up in the Middle East. The whole earth is groaning, intervailing together until now. That's what Paul said. You hear the earthquakes, Brother Brock? Jesus, or Paul said that it's the earth groan, intervaileth in pain together. I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything like the earthquakes that's going to be happening, and the tsunamis, that was a big one. there's a bigger one. Oh, aren't you a calamity? How? No, sir. I'm just telling us, in the midst of it all, let's put our trust in the unchangeable one. Let's put our trust in the faithful one. Let's put our trust in the Almighty. Let's put our trust in the one who holds it in his hands, and to whom the nations are but a drop in the bucket. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God, none compared to him. And he's not going to let us down. Hallelujah. I said, he's not going to let us down. Amen. He didn't teach us to swim, let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't save us. Amen. To see us slip back, you can trust in him. Amen. Do you put your faith in him? Let's believe him, church. Believe him, family. Believe him, individual Christian. It may be bad, but put your trust in the Lord. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me until the end. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? We didn't have television, video games. One of the big things in wintertime in our church was some of us get together and have popcorn and play Scrabble. In the summertime, it was watermelon or homemade ice cream in the backyard. That was big stuff. If you waited just a few weeks after the first watermelons came out, you'd get 2 50 cents. Oh, we're going over so-and-so's house tonight for watermelon. Mmm. Talk about Cold Stone Creamery back then. You couldn't have beat that watermelon. I'll never forget, I'd already called to preach, and we went over to the Robinson's house. Brother Keith, that's Dudley Zerbel's grandparents. He's the one that built the world. His grandpa there at Convocation, he built the world there. That's just Brother Steve and I just chatting here. But went over to Robson's house, got in the backyard. I'm telling you what, cutting those watermelons, spit those seeds. That's why you eat outside. You can spit the seeds, you know. Juice running down your mouth. I still see where we were sitting. We were sitting in a circle, a bunch of young preachers and different ones there. And back, I mean, we're talking about the late 70s. And back then, Brother Light, about every time we got together, we was talking about the come of the Lord. You know, I don't know what happens with age. When I was a teenager, I knew everything there was to know about Bible prophecy. And now I know hardly anything. I'm saying I thought I knew. You know, you think you got it all figured out. And you debate? Oh, we could debate. And we were in the middle of one of those debates. Whew, man, we were getting with it. And Sister Robinson, Dudley's grandma, she's a great Bible. She's just listening. She's listening. And finally she cleared her throat. We all shut up. And she said, you know, it behooves us never to forget the purpose of Bible prophecy isn't just to interest us and intrigue us, but to motivate us to live better. It's not just to shake our head and say, oh, look how bad things are. It's to say, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I haven't found this prophecy for sure, but you know, gas goes up 50 cents in a week and someone says, oh, it's a sign is coming. Well, if it is, where's the prayer meeting? Amen. So the signs of his coming aren't for grumbling. They're for getting prepared for his coming. I want to be ready. I want my family to be ready. I want the church to be ready. Oh, hallelujah. You say, I wish Pastor preached something positive like faith. I've been preaching on faith all morning. I'm preaching if you'll get a healthy faith, you'll have a holy heart and be ready when Jesus comes. Brother Brock, I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again. When I'm really trusting him, believing him, I ain't backsliding. I'm not growing cold. I'm moving forward when I'm believing him. Let's stand and worship him across the building. If you want a heart holy at his coming, we'll lift your heart and hand. I want my heart holy at his coming. Oh, unblameable in holiness before God. Oh, God, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, this morning. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'd like to trust Him more, maybe you're here this morning, you're not prepared for His coming. I want you to know before you leave this place, you can trust your salvation with Christ. You can trust Him with all your heart. You can trust Him. He will save you. Amen. Amen. If you want a heart holy, just come and let's begin together into these altars. Amen. All over this building. Hallelujah. Would you gather in? Hallelujah. I want a healthy faith so I can have a holy heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.